It was a few hours past sundown when Sonia Peanut waded into the jungle and made her way to the clearing about 300 yards from the camp she shared with more than 40 other people from multiple other countries. Most of them knew the reason she was venturing out tonight, and that reason was to set a fire. Fires were hardly welcome in any part of this particular jungle, but hers would be small and controlled, and to her way of thinking, poignant and important. And she had all that she needed to light it readily at hand. There was paper in the clearing and kindling in the clearing, and she would light them first, then feed the blaze logs that would burn brightly and beautifully. The logs would be mahogany, though Sonia would never cut it fresh from trees, even if she were able, which she wasn't. She did not know how to use an axe, and was entirely unwilling to go anywhere near one of the ugly, roaring chainsaws the loggers used. Had she ever been tempted to try, she would probably have been unable to wrestle one of them into her control. At 5 feet and exactly 1/2 inch tall, not a millimeter more, not a millimeter less, she had long looked sideways at big, heavy, dangerous machines. She suspected that they regarded her the same way, eager for her to try to master them so they could wrestle her right back and throw her about. She wouldn't give them the pleasure. Still, there was a fair amount of mahogany to be had lying around, all of it from dead trees toppled slowly by nature or violently by the loggers. She and the others in her camp had brought the logs here and stacked them in the big open space that had been cleared by hand centuries before and kept clean ever since, swept free of leaf debris and other flammables. Fires would be lit here, but they would never spread past here. Sonia was looking forward to lighting her fire tonight, partly because of the person she was lighting it for, and partly because she simply liked the way mahogany burned. She swore there was something about the color of the flame that she saw nowhere else, a faint shimmer of violet so different from ordinary violet that it seemed to be straining to become another color entirely. No one else in the group she lived with could see it, and at least a few of them doubted that she could either. She didn't blame them. The color she saw looked as if it lived at the high, far, exiting edge of the visible spectrum, a final, discernible flicker of electromagnetism, just at the point of hurrying off into the X-ray and gamma-ray frequencies where all energy vanished from view. This was hardly the first night Sonia had visited the clearing. She came here every few nights, depending on the condition of the sky and the turning of the earth. 2 nights earlier, she had been here, but as soon as she arrived, a low, gray-black bank of clouds appeared and then exploded into rain. She waited out the deluge under her poncho, protecting the firewood with a plastic tarp, while alternating her gaze between the sky above and the smartphone in her hand, spinning and spinning a little globe on the screen a few tiny degrees of arc back and forth. But the screen degrees played out too fast and the clouds parted too slowly, and she ran out of time and trudged off disappointed. Tonight, however, the air was clear and the stars were out and the sky was stunning. So she set out from camp for the clearing once more, and this time she did not come alone. Wading through the brush with her was the boy she knew as Oli, which she pronounced with a long O rhyming with goalie. His proper name was Kawan, or Hawk, in his native Guarani, the language of one of the 300 tribes indigenous to the Amazon. It was a perfectly fine name, but even Kawan's own father called him Oli now because the boy took such extreme and giggly pleasure in it. He was just 5 years old, and the wind chime laugh that sometimes came out of him when someone called him that was one his father said he'd been born with and then seemed to grow out of by the time he was 4. The name brought it back.